Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you doing this week?
Doing great. How about you, Eric?
Doing fantastic. Spring is underway and I'm springing ahead.
There you go. Wait, I thought we did that a couple months ago.
Yeah, we did. But
we're now on maritime time.
There you go. So this week, we're going to talk about Randy Pausch and the last lecture. And for those of you who are not familiar with this, Carnegie Mellon University has a series of talks called Journeys, where members of the Carnegie Mellon community talk about how they got to where they are. Prior to Randy Pausch doing the talk, he was actually the first one to do a Journeys talk. Prior to him, the series was called The Last Lecture. And the idea was for someone to look back on their lives, talk about how they got there, and how this was going to be the last lecture they ever did, what would they say? Well, for Randy Pausch, that was actually very apropos, and he jokes about it early on, about how they should have waited to rename it till after his talk, because 1 month prior to his speech, he actually did find out that he had terminal cancer. And this was his last lecture. So he comes on. And for those of you, the book is fantastic. You can actually watch the actual lecture on YouTube. And I actually found out one of the things that surprised me is the talk is so well regarded that despite the fact that it is almost 2 hours long, TED Talks has put it on their site, and it's one of the few talks they have that goes over 18 minutes.
Yeah, actually, I had not heard of Randy Pausch until you said, let's do this. And I actually went out, and last week I listened to his Audible book, which was outstanding. And then today in preparation, I watched the TED Talk itself, and I think it was like about an hour 15, hour 20. It wasn't as long, but it was just absolutely amazing. And he, he was not only diagnosed with cancer, but it was pancreatic cancer, which is about as bad as it gets. I mean, my uncle, I lost to that, and he was gone like within 4 months after he was diagnosed. And, you know, I'm sure we've all known several people, but that truly is a death sentence unless you're just extremely miraculously lucky. But his attitude towards the whole thing and the book and so on and so forth, he did have a little bit of a remission. And then it talks about him sitting, waiting to see the doctor. Well, he was actually in the doctor's office, and he was very good at computers because he did virtual reality and that kind of stuff. So he figured that he would just call up his scans on the computer while he was sitting there with his wife, and he saw the stuff himself and basically said it's over, and then just went on this journey that ended up with the talk. And everything that he did and his attitude towards life is just so inspiring. I was just blown away by, number one, you asking to do this in the first place, because I'd never heard of him, but I just found this was just an amazing, amazing thing to take a look at, and definitely looking forward to discussing all the wonderful things that he's done and left us with today.
Yeah, it's an absolutely fantastic talk. And the focus of his talk is achieving your childhood dreams. And he starts off talking about some of his childhood dreams and the processes that he went about actually achieving them. And he had some pretty high goals as these dreams. Some of them were going into zero gravity The hardest one, as he puts it, is becoming a Disney Imagineer. He wanted to play for the NFL. That one he didn't have accomplished. But he talks about how he learned more from not accomplishing it than he would have had he gone on to be in the NFL.
Yeah, he talked about he was like the smallest guy out there, and he just always loved football and so on and so forth. So when he went to this training with Coach Graham, who was like a huge guy that used to play for Penn State that everybody was scared of, he talked about Coach Graham showing up the first day without a football.
Right.
And everybody said, okay, you know, what's going on with the football? And Coach Graham said, how many players are on the field at once? And the answer is 22. How many people have the ball? One. He said, well, we don't have to worry about that. We're going to work on fundamentals. And that's what he talked about. That's what he took away. He took away things that he learned, which he goes over at the end of it, the talk, things to share, lessons, and so on and so forth. And he said Coach Graham was one of the most influential people in his life just because he taught them the fundamentals, and it was just amazing. So he said experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted.
Right.
He never played in the NFL because he was too small, but the lessons that he learned from that were just amazing. And he talked about he was an instructor over at Carnegie Mellon, and he used to just walk around the football just – bouncing it up and down in his hands all the time. It was just amazing. So, and the zero gravity thing, talk about perseverance and just getting in there. He wanted to take his class to a zero gravity. I think they call it the vomit comet.
Yes.
On Earth, and by turning around and so on and so forth, you were weightless for a little while, and he wanted to go up there and write about it with his students.
Yeah, for those of you who are not familiar with the Vomit Comet, it is a plane run by NASA to train astronauts. And what it does is it flies in a parabolic arc. And at the top of the arc, it simulates weightlessness. So you've got about 20 to 30 seconds where you are weightless. And that's how they get astronauts used to zero G. Well, Randy Pausch found out about a program where college students can put together proposals so that they can go on this plane. And his students put together a proposal. They won the competition and got the chance to go. And then he was told, oh, faculty can't come. So he looks through all of the rules and regulations and finds that while faculty are not supposed to accompany the students, they are allowed to bring a local journalist to write about the experience. So he immediately went out, got himself a press pass, and reapplied as the journalist and got to go.
And he sent in his resignation from the faculty. You know,
yes.
He was guys over the phone and basically, okay, you know, this is how I want to get this thing done. And included in that TED Talk that we watched was showing them weightless, which was really pretty cool. And of course, he was the one that was kind of going across the screen showing off and all this other kind of, that's just the type of guy that he was. But one of the funniest things that you have to watch out for is when you stop being weightless, you crash down.
Oh, yes.
Be close to the floor when you do that. Otherwise, it's going to hurt. So it was, you know, they went over that in detail in the book, but it was pretty funny watching them on the screen being weightless and just seeing how much fun this guy had.
And the one thing he talks about with this whole thing about being told he can't go and then figuring out another way, he goes, brick walls are meant for you to prove how much you want something. You know, brick walls are there to stop the people that don't want it so badly from getting in.
Yeah,
but when you hit that brick wall, you then have to figure out how to get around it, how to get over it, or how to get through it.
Yeah, and he was talking, his Imagineer experience was a prime case of that as far as how he got into Disney World. It was just amazing, all the things that he had to do and figure out to get in. And if I think you probably have the details as far as what was going on to do that stuff, but the odds of doing that were just so low. And but he just got his way in there, and it was just a classic case of perseverance.
Absolutely. In fact, he applied again. He applied the first time, and he had his doctorate in virtual creating virtual reality. He was an expert in the field, and Disney at the time was building the VR systems for the Aladdin ride. And when he sent in the application, they sent back this very terse, essentially form letter saying, "We don't have a spot for you. Don't even bother."
Yeah, actually, he was impressed with the language in that. And he talks about, being rejected and how to interact with people, which falls in line with a lot of what we talked about in the past. But he said those are two of the best rejection notices and shoving it in your face, saying, they talked about we don't have a spot for somebody with your qualifications and skills. And then he talks about that afterwards and said most of the employees there are sweeping streets. So it's right. Pretty funny.
So again, it really showed, he's talking about perseverance, and how he finally got in was through a back door. He was working on a project with the Department of Defense and used that as an excuse to interview the people who were working there, created a relationship with them, and then from there managed to get a temporary assignment to the Imagineering team. So it's, the old adage, if you can't get through with a front door, climb in a window.
Yeah, I mean, he had done a study, written the virtual reality in $5 a day. So he did have qualifications to get in there. And he proved to do a lot of different things with that afterwards, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, because right now where we're on childhood dreams, that's great. But his other thing is that he wants to enable dreams of others and help them achieve those, which we're going to be getting to in a little bit. And a lot of it has to do with his virtual reality.
Yeah, he managed to do some fantastic things, but all of it was built on the experiences that he had trying to achieve his childhood dreams. And, he had listed a number of dreams, not in any particular order. And one of them that, doesn't seem to be that difficult or possibly even that impressive was, first, he wanted to be Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Which, as a kid growing up in the 60s, that made perfect sense. I think he was born in, 1960. So when the show was on, he was 7, 8 years old.
He'd seen man land on the moon and everything.
Yes.
He was just very much into it.
So, and again, one of his childhood dreams was to go into zero G. So it made perfect sense that as a kid, he wanted to be Captain Kirk. Well, as he got older, he realized he was never going to be Captain Kirk. So he altered it to meet Captain Kirk. And he talks about how he got to meet William Shatner, not because he was going to meet William Shatner, but because William Shatner was working on a project where he co-wrote a book about the technology of Star Trek and how it had been coming true. And he went to interview Randy Pausch for this book. And Randy talks about the fact that, it's great to be able to meet one of your childhood heroes, but for them to want to meet you because you're doing cool stuff, that just blew him away.
Yeah, he was building virtual reality things, and he did something for Shatner to come and see. And it was just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, he actually built in virtual reality the bridge of the original Enterprise for Shatner to see. So. Because that's what you know, that's what Randy Pausch is most known for, other than the last lecture, is his work in virtual reality. He actually laid the groundwork for so much of what Facebook is doing with Oculus, what Google is doing with Google Glasses. He was one of the pioneers of virtual reality.
And his students are carrying it on big time today. There was a lot of talk about people that came through the program that are now doing amazing things just because of what they did with him.
Absolutely. And now he started a program that they were using virtual reality, not to make his childhood dreams come true, but for him to be able to have other people's childhood dreams come true. And that's the second section of what he talks about is, you know, it's really great for you to be able to make your dreams come true, but it's extraordinary for you to be able to make other people's dreams come true.
Yeah, he created a course at Carnegie Mellon called Building Virtual Worlds. And this was a course where he had teams together doing two-week projects, and there were like five teams at a time, and they were doing five per semester. And it was amazing what they did for the first project. And he actually went to his mentor. I forget the name of his mentor, but he said they were just so great that I can't believe they accomplished in 2 weeks what I would have given them an A for a semester. What do I tell them when they come in? And his mentor said, tell them that was great, but you can always do better. And it's amazing what that got into. He taught that course for 10 years. He talks about having the students bring friends and parents and families and so on and so forth to see the projects that they came up with. And he eventually turned that over to another person who still has that thing going today in a much, much bigger fashion. But these are things he used his own creativity and he gave back. And so many students have gone through this as a result of that. And he started a couple of other things while he was there too.
And one of the keys to that, though, was traditionally the virtual reality was being done by the tech school, the engineers, the computer programmers. When he created this course, he made it cross-disciplinary. He had it listed in five different departments so that they could bring in people from across the school and cross-pollinate the ideas. And that's really what pushed these creations past, you know, anything he had imagined, because you had people from different backgrounds and different disciplines all working together to make this happen. And he was shocked because it became such a big thing that when the class came time to present, there were lines outside the auditorium of people just waiting to get in who hadn't been in the class just to see what these guys had accomplished.
And they actually had a sample. They showed a little bit of a video of one of the presentations in his talk also, which was very, very funny.
And that was the other thing, is it wasn't simply creating a computer program. When the kids put these things together, there was a theatrical aspect to it. There was a stage aspect to it. So they were combining real life with their virtual worlds. And the creativity that that inspired was amazing. And that, you know, this is something I've always been a big proponent of, is, you know, look outside your own discipline for new ideas. Because if you can take ideas from different areas and put them together, that's the definition of innovation. And Randy Pausch taught these kids to innovate, and then they ran with it beyond his dreams.
Absolutely. And he moved on to start the Dream Fulfillment Factory there, which was a two-year professional master's degree program that was all based upon that. And the students were so good at that, that he actually had companies that actually sent him letters promising to hire the students without even knowing who they were. That's how powerful the program was. And that's the type of people that he developed by going through this program. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, he had commitment letters from software companies like Electronic Arts. There was, I think, was five different software companies, and they were committing to hiring students that hadn't even been selected for the program yet. That's how much faith they had in that program.
It's amazing. One of his goals was to help millions of kids have fun while learning something. And that's really what his style was all about and what he was doing.
Yeah, and he did it beyond just virtual reality. They created a program called Alice. And Alice was something that anybody could download onto their computer and learn to program through this Alice program. And I don't know what the current status of Alice is, but it was available across platforms. No matter what kind of computer you had, you could download this. I actually had it on my computer back in probably 2008, 2009, when last lecture had come out. And the whole thing was, his approach was to teach people without realizing they're learning.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's something big to keep in mind.
So already having gone through 4 years of college and books and so on and so forth, and he wanted to do this whole program without books.
Right. That was a big part of it. He said, this was not about book learning. This was a master's course. So they've already spent 4 years doing book learning. They should have read all the books by now. Now let's get out there and apply it. And that's a major thing, because most academic courses do not do that. They teach theory, not how to apply the theory. And I mean, it's one of the reasons that, you know, so many MBAs fail, is because your MBA is being taught as theory, not about what the real world is like. Well, Randy Pulsh realized this, and he wanted these folks to be able to walk out of here actually knowing how to deal with people, how to do the job, and how to do it in real-world situations. And one of the things he did was each team had to evaluate their team members. So every student got this bar chart telling them how they interacted with the other team members, where they needed to improve, and how they ranked. So people were told flat out, you know, you may know your stuff, but, you know, you're not interacting well.
And this happened to Randy during his studies also, because he self admits that he's arrogant and so on and so forth. And he got slammed a couple of times by his professors because of it. But the way that they approached it, and, you know, talk about how to win friends and influence people, instead of just slamming him, they very, very gently got the word across in a pointed manner that was funny and entertaining rather than slamming it, so that he saw that right there. It's learning how to deal with people. And his stories were pretty funny.
I love the quote that he says one of his professors gave him, was that he pulled them aside and he said, you know, it's really a shame that people perceive you as arrogant, because it's going to limit what you can accomplish. And exactly. You know, Randy Pausch talks about how that's like the best way of anybody ever telling him, stop being a jerk.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. I mean, he talked, as far as enabling other people's dreams, the one that we had forgot to bring up was the story of Tommy Breen, who was one of his students. And when he went to school in the early 90s, he said he wanted to work Star Wars films and do the virtual reality for that.
And right. And at the time, there were no plans to do any more Star Wars films.
That's right. And what happened is, a couple years later, they went into all that. And guess who was a huge part of all of those?
Yep. He managed to focus on that, and he became one of the virtual reality people that worked on the second set of three Star Wars films. And I don't know if he's working on the current ones or not, but you know, there's no reason to assume he isn't.
So but
this was somebody who he wanted to work on the next Star Wars film, and as far as anybody knew, there was never going to be one. And he still managed to make that dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Randy himself, Zero Gravity, the Disney Imagineers, and that kind of thing, seemingly impossible, but making it happen anyway.
So he talks a lot about perseverance and being able to communicate with people and learning from your own experiences and learning from your mistakes. But he also talks about mindset, which we've talked about quite a lot. And I love the way he talks about it, because he refers to it as, are you a Tigger or are you an Eeyore? And, you know, we're all familiar with the characters from Winnie the Pooh. Tigger is, you know, the carefree, always having fun. And Eeyore is in a permanent depression. Everything is terrible. And he talks about those two personalities and how much better it is to be having fun at what you're doing, because that attracts people to have fun. And, you know, nobody really wants to be around Eeyore when he's complaining all the time.
No, that's the energy vampire in the room, as we've talked about. I mean, this came out of the last part of his talk was lessons learned. He talked about the roles of his parents, who were amazing people, his mentors and his students, and talked about having a childlike wonder for everything. I mean, that's the first thing he started with, was his childhood dreams and helping others, ignoring what other people say and so on and so forth, and just going out and doing it yourself. It's just amazing the way that he handled himself in the situation. Tell the truth, be earnest, apologize when you screw up. It's just incredible.
Yeah, and all of those lessons helped him deal with that final lesson he had to deal with, which was fighting off cancer. And at the time he gave the last lecture, he was told he was going to have 3 to 6 months of good health. And he was told this a month before the lecture. So he had 2 to 5 months.
Yeah, he said do the math right after he said that.
Right. he ended up having, I think, about 8 to 10 months where he was good, and then he passed away. But he was, and you know, at the very beginning, he talks about the ultimate in cognitive dissonance, because he's dying, and yet he's in the best shape of his life. And he drops to this floor of the stage and does these one-handed push-ups, and he tells the audience, I don't want to be pitied. If you feel like you have to pity me, come down here, do what I just did, and then you can pity me.
Yeah, do it better than me.
Yes.
It was unbelievable.
So we're just about out of time. So, Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway our listeners should have from the last lecture?
He talked about childhood dreams, enabling the dreams of others. And what he talked also about was head fakes. And he said, even though the talk was entitled Achieving Your Childhood Dreams, what a head fake is you're really doing a little bit something different. And he said what it really was is talking about how to lead your life, and what a wonderful example he was.
Absolutely. You know, he described head fakes as what you're learning when you think you're learning something else. And I think that is a huge takeaway from this, is that no matter what you're doing, you're always going to be learning something. And I loved what he said, that experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. And it's all so valuable. So I absolutely recommend everybody watch the video, read the book, and take those lessons to heart. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the Apple Podcasts app, the iTunes Store, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Remember, make this your best week ever, and make next week even better. See you then.